makes impressions on the inside of her thigh. There are little feathered Indians where we tussle.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Perry with Premier Guitar here in Nashville, Tennessee at the Exit Inn today for... I'm super stoked on this. Yeah. We got Tyler Childers and his whole band here to do a rundown with us.
Yeah, man.
We've been trying for this for a long time, and I know you guys are fans too, so this is
absolutely
awesome.
Thank you.
Got Mr. Wells Big here. Fan. He's gonna show us some cool guitars and got a cool story about this amp. And got a mess of pedals, so let's just get right into it.
A big old mess. Let's see. We'll start with this 51 custom shop. My buddy Stan hooked me up at Will Cut Guitars in Lexington, Kentucky. Great folks. I have another pine body telly that I usually play, but he hooked me up with this. And
do you prefer a pine body?
I do. Yeah, and the B bender that I have is also pine.
Why? Because it's spankier.
Just real resonant. Yeah. It's great. Great variation from Asher.
Have you modded this since you got it from the custom shop?
This is completely stock.
It is.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's a great guitar.
Man, it looks well loved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did it come relict at all from the shop?
Oh yeah, of course.
A little
bit. This is pretty much.
Is this like your number one? Is this what you're on most?
No. I just have it.
Just
using it instead of the pine right now.
Gotcha.
So.
But well, that's gorgeous.
This sort of is more the number one. This Forrest Lee Jr. here in Nashville.
Oh yeah, look at that bender on there.
Does the bender thing.
Sparkly
killer.
Paisley.
Yeah,
that's killer.
Paisley with a hidden humbucker here in the neck position.
No kidding.
So, and he couldn't remember what it was. I bought it used from a fellow here in town. But this is an antiquity, Seymour Duncan antiquity.
And so are you pretty much staying on that antiquity, or are you ever playing that bucker?
No, it's not even wired right now.
Oh, you took it out right now. Well, you can't see it anyway.
So it's an Esquire wiring.
So. Gotcha. So is there like just a chamber in here, I guess?
I guess, yeah.
I wonder if they just capped it with
this. Goes right over top.
Yeah. Crazy. Very cool.
Killer guitar. A lot of people like the finish. They call it the pepperoni guitar. So
yeah,
it sort of has that look.
A little bit.
I love a Paisley.
Have you had any troubles with the bender? Is it staying?
Not at all. It's a killer bender.
Sometimes you have to tune it a little bit, right?
Yeah, and it's got the hex key on top for that.
Killer.
I can do that with my fingers on Goodnight. So. This is
my little buddy,
the 60s. This is a 66 Mustang. It's my daughter's guitar, so she lets me take it out and play it, the short scale thing.
What songs are you playing this on?
Charleston Girl is probably the only one that
I haven't ever owned one of these, but that's so funky.
I stay away from that.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that hard to navigate?
It stays in tune pretty good. So.
That's cool.
It's all stock except the wiring.
I'm not super familiar with these. Are these like phase switches? Or?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, in and out of phase.
Cool.
Two pickups. So the RS Guitar Works guys in Winchester, Kentucky. I think everything I have except that custom shop has their wiring kits.
Cool.
I'm a big fan of their wiring kits.
It's cool of your daughter to let you take that.
That's right. She has a 65 Mustang too. So. A lot better guitars than I've got.
Oh, look at this tuxedo.
So this is the baritone that I get to play on. White House Road is the baritone thing, and Peace of Mind, and Tulsa Turnaround, the great old Kenny Rogers tune. This is stock except the wiring again. It's the RS Guitar Works, and that made a big
difference. What do they do with the wiring?
Difference. It's an SG kit, so it's just better better pots.
Gotcha.
Better,
500.
Yeah, better. Yeah, 500 and better switch.
What are you tuned B to B?
I'm A to A and then G.
Whoa.
Drop G.
That sucker looks like a bass string wobbling in front of me.
Yeah, these are medium D'Addario's. I like D'Addario strings on everything.
What gauges are you normally playing? Obviously, this is a heavy gauge.
Oh, gosh, I don't remember. These are 18 through 72-ish. Something
nasty.
Super, yeah, and it growls through through the twin.
It's that's really, the way to do it right there.
Really
man.
Big, and I love the Bigsby too. That's kind of fun.
Now, are you guys in pretty much standard most of the time?
The other guitars are standard.
Standard.
Yeah.
And you have that. Okay, gotcha.
Got that, and then Universal Sound has some cool textures. So Chicago Music Exchange hooked me up. Carl there had this killer little mandola. Got my David Grisman sticker and my great Kentucky United We Stand, Divided We Fall.
What a fun little dude.
Our buddy Johnny, Tyler's cousin, hooked us up with these stickers. So.
Do you know what pickup it is in it? Just
it's like
mini
a Firebird mini bucker kind of thing.
That's cool.
And then this is mandola tuning, so it's A, D, G, C, and then octave strings on the bass to make it like more like a Rick.
Yeah, totally.
Kinda,
yeah.
For fun.
Well, that's cool as hell.
So that's a lot of fun.
So that's just only on a couple songs.
One song. So, cool. Yeah, and it's the cheapest instrument I got, and I think it sounds the best.
Is that
somebody last night said that little mandola sounded great. So
rules. Yeah. Universal Sounds is a cool song. It's got some different sounds than the rest of y'all's work.
Exactly. So yeah, I was trying to figure out. James does the delay thing, so I'm trying to do some textures and get some other tones.
All right, I guess now we're off to this.
Oh yeah, so this
twin,
brand new old twin. My friend Chad Underwood in Lexington, Kentucky, builds great guitars and trades them for gear a lot. So he got this from J.D. Simos, a Nashville guy, I guess. I don't know him, but he and Chad are big buddies.
Big buds.
So he got this right before I came to town. So Thursday morning, I went over to his place and picked it up, and it's a September 65 twin.
Do you know if he modded it? Or
it has JBL K120s in it. So
old school,
it's
yeah.
Very heavy.
Huge,
loud,
huge magnets.
Bright, which is killer for the country telly thing.
Gotcha.
It's a great compliment.
So on this tour, you're not only playing obviously standard and a baritone and a B-bender and your little mandola here, but you're playing fiddle too.
Yeah, I split that about 50% with the fiddle.
Are you playing the fiddle through the twin?
No, it's just through the house.
Okay, just direct.
Yeah, only direct. And the matchless is sitting here as a backup because I didn't totally trust a 65.
Yeah, new amp, you never know.
I had some bonus fuses in the back, so.
Wonder if
I just set this up just in case. That's what I had been playing, the Clubman 35.
Yeah, those are great. How long have you had that?
And not long, but that's an early one, like 93, I think. Matchless.
So just out of curiosity, does the twin just sound better to you?
It's to me so far.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wondered just
because I'm always experimenting.
Matchless is pretty sought after.
It's, you know? It's a killer amp too.
And then what's this little cab here? Just
it's
a
Dr. Z, yeah, cool. 210.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, it's
offset.
210's offset.
Killer.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a bad setup, man. A
lot of fun.
So far, so good. All right, let's dive into these pedals.
A lot of toys on the floor, too.
So you got a pedal board, obviously, for guitar.
So I have a dedicated guitar board and a dedicated fiddle board.
I see. I love that you're playing a ton of guitar pedals through your fiddle board.
Yeah. I played guitar since I was young, so I'd incorporate that into the fiddle sound. Just some delay and phase and some fun things.
That's way too cool. All right, well, let's start with your chain over here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll go through all the way to the fiddle stuff just because there's guitar pedals
so
over
the
there.
So the first pedal, it's the Cali 76, the new compact. It's really nice. I like the ability to blend the dry and wet signals with that. I've had other compressors, but so get some cool B-bender things.
Yeah, that really comes alive with that compressor on. So out of curiosity, why the little one and not the big one? What's the difference? Is it just the transformer?
It's a third the price. No,
it takes a lot less room on your board.
Yeah, it's more compact. Sounds great. So
I know that those are kind of becoming sought after, the bigger ones.
Very highly. And same thing with the Pantheon next in the chain. King of Tone, it's supposed to be King of Tone replica deal. So
gotcha.
I like it. So far, I've had it for a week or so. And
oh yeah.
Just getting it,
what did it replace?
Really new thing. It just made an appearance. So.
Oh. It's, kick that sucker on. Let's hear it.
Yeah, it's. Just add a little grip.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's not too toothy, but
and the twins so clean. So and then the Timmy. A little more gain.
A little more.
Yeah, quite a bit more. And then the Earth Drive. That's a pretty. Just a different flavor of transparent overdrive.
Are you ever stacking all those?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, that rules. It's getting wild with it, huh?
The Mad Professor Tiny Orange Phaser. I had a Univox phaser that I liked, and it died on me, so.
So is this to get that kind of like wailing?
Yeah,
sound?
It's really that. It does it real well, yeah.
The rate is set low enough to where it just kind of does that thing.
Let it wave around. It's got a mix too, so wet, dry thing, so it's not all phase.
So what's this button here on your polytune?
So that's just to make it easier to mute. I use that to swap all the instruments all the time. That's the chain that goes to the Milkman next. It's a delay.
It's a little slapback.
Oh, yeah. It's a nice bucket style delay, and then it has a boost too, so I get another.
Oh, cool.
Another level of boost.
Do you are you ever running that boost just by itself? Yeah,
yeah.
Sometimes just to get.
Yeah, especially with the Pantheon too.
Yeah, because it seemed a little quiet.
Yeah.
Cool. And then you're going into these Strymon pedals here.
Yeah, the Strymon, the delay, and then the Flint. I use the harmonic tremolo. I think that's maybe the only thing I use on the Flint. It's just real subtle.
Yeah.
So subtlety's the name of the game.
And then how do you have the Capistan set
different
than the JHS?
Yeah, it's a longer. I use that on Universal Sound with the mandolin.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds a little washier.
For another texture.
Cool. And then what is this you're powering it all with here?
Oh, gosh. That's a good question. It's, if it wasn't turned upside down.
Yeah, I was going to say. Well, right on. And then, so that takes us over to your fiddle board.
Right.
Which has some fun stuff on it, too.
Yeah, I don't know that we'll hear it, but got the Grace Felix preamp. It's a two-channel studio quality preamp.
Oh, cool.
They're out of Boulder, Colorado. They build great.
That's got to help depending on the room that you're in, huh?
Yeah, it's got a lot of great parametric EQ options for dialing it in.
Killer. And then that's how you're going direct into the house with the
I do that, and then that has a effects loop insert that I run all the pedals. So I go into the Octavius, which is a cool T-Rex, just to beef up the fiddle. The fiddle's so shrill and bright, so just for some low end and a little high octave too, just for flavor.
It's barely in there. And that mix knob is handy for that.
And the boost too. I'll use that as another boost if I need it.
I actually have that pedal and I love the boost on it for that reason.
I'm gonna try it on that baritone.
You should definitely try it. It's different,
I need another one.
And then why are you going phase 90 as opposed to the Mad Professor?
Well, just, I might do that eventually. I love the Eddie Van Halen script on there, so that's
so that's gotta stay. I totally get
that. Nothing says country music like Eddie Van Halen, so I need to. I was using that on my guitar for a long time, but until I got that.
Yeah, that's a killer phaser.
So it works well with the fiddle. I use the script setting on it, the old sound.
The old setting, yeah.
And then a DD6, got to have a Boss pedal somewhere. Digital delay for the fiddle.
Gotcha.
I've tried analog, and it's just a little too dirty.
Is it just too warm or something? Or
it gets lost in the mix with acoustic. And digital delay is a little just brighter.
That's so interesting.
The tails stand out a little more. And then a Blue Sky, another Strymon.
Totally.
The plate setting for fiddle, for acoustic instruments. I love a good plate, and Strymon does it right. They're amazing things.
Hell yeah, man. You're making some great sounds.
And that says Voodoo Lab. So
that is. That's a pedal power, too. Yeah,
That's what's pedal.
And I guess I'd be remiss in not mentioning you guys are running brown boxes for your amps, too.
Yeah. I teach at a Morehead State University back in Kentucky, and I had a student. They're always turning me on to gear, and he recommended I try a brown box. So, and then James has stepped up and got his running too to clean up sound.
Sure, and those, especially with older fenders, are pretty picky about.
Yeah, they want to see a little lower voltage. So,
well, right on, man.
Things sound good.
Well, thanks for walking me through this, man. I appreciate this. I'm excited for the show.
It's gonna be
good. Grab the rest of the dudes in your band.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Cheers. Thanks.
Cool. Now we're just a little bump ahead over here with James. He's going to walk us through his setup. You're playing a little six string and you're playing steel on this tour, right?
Right. Yeah. Mostly steel. And okay. A little bit of six string.
Cool. Let's start with guitars and then we'll get over to here because you've got a lot of fun pedals running
through.
Absolutely. And this is your number one, this Tele here?
Yeah. This Tele here is my number one. Has been pretty much since I've owned it. Got a Lawler Imperial there in the neck.
Sweet.
And then just whatever came in it there in the bridge.
Stock,
it was one. Yeah, it was one of those highway ones. I liked it for the nitro finish, and then I put brass saddles on it and all the little stuff I wanted.
Cool.
And
it just seemed to stay intonated a lot better with the compensated brass saddles.
That's why this thing's my number one guitar, because it comes out the case in tune. It doesn't drop tune. It doesn't break straight.
So
it, just,
nice.
It just works. You know,
I gotta get some of those because I have the regular barrel ones, and those posts will slice you to pieces.
Oh, absolutely.
Man.
Really, these are Callahan. I love everything he's done. I've gotten from him. I love. And they're they're marked on the bottom for which strings to get them on because they're compensated just right
cool.
for each one.
Wow, that rules.
Yeah, they're great.
And this this leather pickguard here, is that something you had made?
Yeah, it's Daniel Romano, which I'm a big fan of. He's a great songwriter. He does some leather work on the side.
Crazy. And it's tooled really well.
Yeah, he had a guitar that was completely leather, and I noticed that his pick guard was like a separate one just like this. Like, so I was like, hey, man, because he does a lot of straps. I was like, hey, man, instead of doing a strap, can you do me a pick guard kind of like yours? So I just got a pick guard that fit right and sent it to him, and he put this on it.
Was this a neck that came on it?
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. Spanky. I've had the frets have been dressed by, what's his name, David at Scale Model Guitars.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When he was still at Carter's, he did a level for me, or a dress, because I bend a lot. I wear him down.
Nashville, isn't
he? Yes.
Yeah, cool.
He makes amazing guitars, really, really cool stuff.
Yeah, I've played a couple of his guitars. They're real cool.
Yeah, I was trying to get my Strat to him the other day. It needs kind of a going through somebody that's really good with a Strat. Also, I just didn't have time to get it over to him.
And then you're running a couple of backups.
Yeah, it's an Eric Johnson Strat. It's an amazing guitar. I was after him for a long time, and there's a really good guitar shop in Pikeville, Kentucky called Mountain Music Exchange, and they're just always ready to swap and do deals. And I'd seen this thing come back through there a couple times, because there's just lots of people there that are constantly swapping stuff.
Sure.
So I knew that they had probably made their money on it, were willing to work with me on it. So I packed up a bunch of stuff I wasn't using, and my friend swapped it out, and as I said, I've been after him for a long time.
It feels good to get rid of gear too sometimes.
Like, sometimes, yeah, you gotta trim a little fat. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And then it'll build back up, and I'll do it again. And
then what's a single cut over here?
Yeah, it's just one of those Les Paul like Junior Specials. I used to play a lot. Obviously, played it a lot throughout Rock Band years. Anymore, I'm not the biggest on humbuckers for most stuff that I do.
For your sound,
exactly. But I wanted to. It was nice being here for 3 days. We were able to bring some extra stuff and set up camp, kind of. And I got a little Vibro Champ in the back for sitting around picking. So
it's cool to have all your tools here. Yeah. I've never seen this crazy looking bridge. Is this for fine tuning or something?
Yeah, one of my buddies gave me this guitar, and he had taken it completely apart. He's like me; he likes to tinker and all this stuff. And he had bought this for it way before that. I think he just lost the other one. But yeah, it fine tunes.
That's killer.
And it works really good. Yeah.
It's weird. I've never seen like fine tuners on a non-trem bridge. You know, like an old cable.
Yeah, I mean, I searched once and kind of found them, but they're not around a whole lot. Yeah. I don't know where it came from.
That's cool as shit.
Yeah, but it's always just worked, so I've never messed with replacing it.
Cool. And then you're playing these six strings through this hall.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not super familiar with that amp. Tell me all about it.
No, Richie Hall is just one of our good buddies.
Did he model it after anything in particular?
Yes. Yeah, that right channel that I'm using for the most part is kind of after a train wreck rocket.
Cool.
And then that left channel is like the Les Paul amp, a Gibson GA40. It runs a 5789 preamp tube, I think that's what it is. There's not a lot of amps that ever used them. I divided by 13.
Yeah.
They used them, and a few other amp companies used them, but it's got a real gnarly sound. It just has this five-way click.
Oh, yeah.
Different tone cap knob. It's cool. It's a flamethrower. It actually is so bad, and I think it probably needs a new tube. It will just, at some points, just
scream at you.
You can reach back and kind of and touch that preamp tube, and the whole tube is, you know, that's how
resonating.
Yeah,
like
that's
it's
what
shaking.
It does. Yeah, but if it's primed just right, I mean, it's one of those things you can't put anything else in front of it. I mean, it's full. I mean, just flamethrower, rocking sound.
Are you just having to face away from it the whole time? Otherwise, you're gonna get some humming, aren't you?
Oh yeah. Like I said, this room's got a little extra hum. Most of the time, these things are pretty dead quiet.
Killer.
And then he also, everything I have, I take to him. He's been through this Super Reverb a couple of times. Keeps it rocking and has a really cool mod on the first channel. Same thing. He does a thing a lot of Fender amps where he'll take the tone stack out. So on this first channel, if you hit the bright switch up, it actually takes the tone stack completely out.
Oh, wow.
Of the circuit, which again makes it, I mean, a lot of gain from a Fender
from
amp.
From a Fender.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I've had him do it to my Deluxe and multiple Fender amps, and it always sounds awesome.
It's killer.
It's cool just to have the options.
You're just running steel through the Super though, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
And then I'm good. I got this pedal to do both or switch back and forth. Every once in a while, I'll flip that for a boost. I'll have them both on. Or I'm getting used to the dual amp thing because I said we finally just have enough, finally gain enough room to be able to bring two amps and have some options.
Yeah, that rules.
Yeah.
So you're running these pedals for steel, but also for guitar, right?
Yeah, I run all through the everything. I literally just pull my cable here if I'm going to six string and run it all through the exact same rig.
Oh, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Well, that's pretty handy. All right, well, have a seat here. Let's talk about this bad boy.
Sure.
It's a guitar. It's just got a lot of strings on it.
Yeah,
and I don't know how to play it.
It's no different. They bend when you want them. That's it.
Oh, it's so rad.
And then this is a. I can't remember the exact year. I think it's probably early 80s. One of the last show buds before they ended. And I take it over to Jeff Surratt here in Taani as the show pro. Makes beautiful guitars. And he keeps this thing running for me.
That's killer. Got what, three levers? You got knee levers?
Three pedals, four knees.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of options for twang.
Yeah, well, that's about the standard. But there's most guitars anymore have more than that.
Yeah.
I have another one home that has a fifth knee lever for a vertical one.
Up and down one.
Yep.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, there's one here to raise. And then there's plenty of guitars that have a second one you can catch on the inside
totally.
Here.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me how you're using these pedals through this bad boy.
Yeah. I just start at the beginning. I got a Peterson strobe tuner, which playing steel is pretty much the standard.
I was going to say, for steel, that must be kind of necessary, right?
Yeah, because I keep it in the sweetened tuning that helps the cabinet drop. You know, when you mm-hmm. when you pull up one string, so the other string slightly can go
right. Yeah,
so it's made to compensate for that.
Well, that's handy. I always wondered what that was for. Yeah. That tuner. I had one of those and couldn't read it live and hated it. You know?
Yeah. People really have, they're a little bit tricky because the input on them can be kind of hot. Like people go to tune their guitar and they always just flip their volume all the way up and it actually kind of overdrives it. So if you hit it with a lower volume, especially on like a six string, always try to go to the neck pickup, even roll some of the high stuff off and just a little bit of volume and it's smooth as can be.
No kidding.
You hit it real hard and everything's jumping. Everybody's like, I hate those things. I can't
wobbling.
Read them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you hit them with a kind of a medium signal, they're real smooth.
That makes sense. I've always played high gain stuff and honestly, I thought I was going to have a goddamn seizure looking at that.
Yeah.
Thing
those, yeah. Jump, yeah that's just you're driving it.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So yeah, just roll some of the volume off and it'll be nice and smooth.
All right. Well, from that Peterson, you're going into that
full drive. Yeah. I'm like jumping this way.
Okay.
The full drive, that's usually my leave on all the time for six string. Especially when I was playing the super all the time. I'd use that to kind of choke volume because I had the super cranked up for when I needed the really loud steel. It would be a little loud for six string. So I'd kind of choke the volume back with that a little bit and get a little bit of the drive I wanted. Yeah, so go from there and then to the JHS, the Haunting Mids, which is pretty much just
a mid boost?
Yeah, it's pretty much like a parametric EQ.
Oh.
Just designed for the mid range area.
That's
it's super clean, super transparent. Yeah, it's really nice. And that's kind of, you know, especially I have kind of a non traditional setup. Most steel players are playing a 1,000-watt solid state
amp.
Amp that never breaks up. And I kind of play it more like a Telecaster.
Sure. So, which I like. I like hearing it get a little gritty.
Yeah.
It gives it something, yeah.
But the mid-range is kind of can be like the scary area for steels. And honestly, right now, I click on every once in a while just for a boost. A couple guitar players I really like, that's their boost pedal will be like just an EQ pedal with a tiny bump at like 400
gotcha.
Just to cut. But I mainly have it on there for if we got travel and I got to go use a backline amp somewhere.
Sure.
Yeah. Because some of those, especially some of those reissue amps and stuff, those speakers just don't want to handle it, and they kind of crap out, and I can kind of at least control what I need there. So it's really handy for that. And then I go down to the double barrel by JHS, which I absolutely love.
Yeah, those are awesome.
Yeah, it's got kind of like a tube streamer side and kind of a Klon cleaner side. And it's super usable. Yeah.
Let's hear that bad boy.
Yeah. And again, that's not usually running on steel, but I do stuff different every night.
And if it's right,
it definitely has been, you know? So. You can get big with it.
It's super gritty. I'm not a steel dude, but I'd have to imagine that if you're putting any kind of overdrive on steel, you're getting a lot more sustain.
Oh yeah.
Out of it, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, I get a lot of that from. I should have started here. Straight on my guitar here, I go into this steel driver. It's made by Goodrich down in Florida.
Is it like a clean boost? Or?
Yeah. It's with steel pickups, they've got a way higher impedance than a normal guitar pickup. So a lot of volume pedals. It just going to the volume pedal, it's kind of chokes it out.
Yeah,
so it hits a buffer,
so you're not losing
it gets you where it's the volume pedal could accept it a little better. And I like having it has a tone control on it. I have the volume pretty much just where it's just the same, you know.
Sure,
kind of just a
like
unity. But if I need it's also nice if I need a little volume boost or whatever.
Right,
yeah,
there.
I got a volume right there that I can crank up, and like I said, and having the tone to kind of roll off.
I'm glad you showed us that. I've seen those, but didn't know what
it was.
But
then on the other side of this one, it has this fuzz box. If you click on this channel,
let's hear it.
And it's gnarly. I mean, obviously it's super, sustain as long as you want.
It's a really smooth fuzz too. It's not like at all
gated. It's great for six string. It's just a really good fuzz unit. I've actually been meaning to keep my eye out for a second one. I have had this is one of the few things that's failed me. We had a huge show opening up for Jack White. Of course, one of those things, sound checks. I mean, I've used this thing for years. Never had a single hiccup. Sound checks, perfect. Hadn't touched anything. Went out, you know, then came back out to start our set. I sit down.
That's the worst feeling in the world.
Absolutely nothing, yeah. And
what a terrible feeling.
It was just something in the jack for this thing had shorted and just touched it, pushed up against something. But I'm sitting here trying to scramble, yeah, get around it, figure out where it is and get around it.
Kill it.
But yeah, I guess I kind of went backwards there. So after the double barrel, I moved to the Keeley compressor, which I just added that one on. Since I was playing that hall, that train wreck circuit's super touch sensitive and can be a little much. Also, I forgot to add about those. Those all have brand new Eminent speakers in them. Oh. I went down and toured their factory and talked to those guys. Yeah, and they've been really, really great to me, and I love all their stuff.
That rules.
So I got that... the hall, I got that Cannabis Rex in to try again to soften that.
I was gonna say they do come off like a little mid-rangey or dark. Yeah,
that was the what I wanted for that amp.
For sure,
because
yeah,
like I said, it can be really bright and really kind of touch sensitive.
Not ice picking.
Which I mean, for some people, it's awesome. It brings out all my mistakes really loud. So, so that was a great speaker to pair up with that. And then I did their, just played all of them over and over, and I really liked. I guess they're kind of like the replacement for the original speakers that were in that amp that are like the Alnico magnet. Yeah. I think it's a 1028 or something like that, like little 30 watt Alnico magnets. They've been absolutely great. They've broken in even after the first night. I noticed last night they've already kind of open it up a little bit. Yeah, at first I was kind of like, man, I feel like my strings are a little bit dead. And these are brand new strings, and I was realizing
new speaker.
They're just not wanting to get right there. But yeah, even by the end of last night, I could feel them. Because I hit that stuff so hard, I was like, they'll break in. Yeah. They'll break in pretty fast. We're a pretty loud band. So they'll break in very fast. Yeah, exactly.
So of all the compressors in the world, I mean, you're using that compressor obviously for steel and for six string.
No, just for six string.
Really? Okay.
I used to run a compressor all the time on steel before my volume pedal.
Right?
Not a whole lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you want all that headroom. So that can, you know, you should be able to do anything with that kind of with your right foot.
I see. Okay.
Because most steel players aren't ever going any louder than just like, I mean, barely this little sweep.
And you're riding it the whole time.
And the only time most of them are going up is to sustain a note out, you know, just to
keep
kind of try to match the decay, you know, with the volume.
I see.
But again, where I'm kind of not traditional, I'm getting in there all the time.
Let it rip.
But yeah, I've been using that compressor for my six string when I run through that train wreck. And I like it pretty well. I also have another one that I made, that build your own clone.
Oh, I love those.
I've built a bunch of them, and I have that five knob from them, and it's great.
I've done a couple of those, and they're handy too, because it's like a percentage of the price of the actual pedal.
Oh, yeah.
And you get to learn.
I learned a lot working on stuff. I had their analog delay, a couple different overdrives, and phaser. And
what rules?
I like messing with those things. But that's just what's living on there right now. And then I just got this, the Way Huge, the Overrated Special.
Is it called the Overrated Special?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, Bonamassa did it with them. It's kind of, you know, it's obvious, it's like the Dumble.
Sure.
Yeah.
I was going to say, have you ever A-beat it to a Dumble? Like, does it have that?
No. Richie, my amp guy, he's built a bunch of Dumble clones, and I've played around with them a little bit. I've never had the most luck with them. But they're very loud. That was like train wreck. They're very loud, very touch sensitive. Yeah. They bring out your mistakes. You got to, you know, it's a tall order to play those amps and sound good. You know?
Right.
There's a reason those.
They're very responsive.
Like, yeah, that's the thing. That's why those things are in the hands of guys that are that good.
Pros,
you know,
because
like I said, other people, it'll bring your mistakes out just as loud as anything else.
So how are you using that Way Huge differently than the full drive?
I've been using that actually. Because I said I almost always will have that full drive on with my six string, and then lots of times I liked this Klonstad for my boost. But since I've put this one on the last couple nights for that extra for leads and stuff like that, I've been using this as my second one. And then I kind of put that compressor in the middle. The same thing. That's why I put like I broke up all these overdrive pedals and stuff in the middle, so I can always drive before or after anything I want. But it's been, I've been using it for the lead tones the last couple nights.
You got a whole lot of drive.
It's really cool. It has this, because, you know, it has a big mid hump in it. And it has this frequency that you can kind of match to your guitar to where that mid hump is.
Oh, that's so cool.
And
so
that's the thing I really like about it. Yeah, you can just sit there and hit a big chord and find it. You know,
find
that sweet spot. Yeah, exactly. So that's the thing I really like about that.
That rules.
Yeah.
And then we get into some modulation stuff over
here
with the
Shiners. Yeah, because actually I'm going under here and going, it's a very strange board setup, go into the Mobius after the Way Huge. I use that for, which I never thought I'd be the guy to use any digital pedal stuff because I was always a purist. I got an Echoplex at home. I was surprised at myself when I got this Timeline first.
Yeah, those are incredible.
Especially just for being able to save all those songs and not sit there and try to have to tap something just right.
Or have notes where you have your notched out.
If I need something for a certain song, I'm there, you know, there's Universal Sound there, you know.
Let's hear it real quick.
Oh yeah.
This
one, I just had a little snafu with this thing and lost a bunch of stuff, and I don't know that I've gotten it, but this was like the one that was like so tricky because it's a dual delay. And I just sat there for a long time trying to get it just right. I don't think I have it exactly where it was, but I've got it closer. And I'm playing six string on that usually, but. But it's the dual delay
going. Cool.
Yeah, I got to go and run it in parallel. And I still got to tweak on that a little bit, I think, to get it exactly where I had it.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of very syncopated delay on that song. So that must be a bitch to dial that all in with everybody.
Yeah, because Russ Paul's what he played on that album. And I don't know if you've ever seen his guitar. He's got a Show Pro, and I don't know what the brain system or how it's wired up, but he has a bunch of knobs right here that are controlling his delay units. He does so many recording sessions. So when he comes into a session or whatever, he gets the tempo of the song, and then right here he has his quarter, his dotted delay.
So he can change it all right there on the fly. Oh, I'd love to see that setup. That's pretty cool.
It's very, very cool guitar, yeah.
That rules.
So he used that big brain and all those delays to get that stuff sounding really, really cool. And then the Mobius is the same way. You know, it's really nice. I do a lot of, there's three or four different trims I have saving there for certain songs. I love the Univibe on it. I'll just throw that on randomly when I'm feeling brave.
When you're just.
Yeah, or then like balls. A Phase 90 kind of style a phaser. And like I said, just being able to have all that stuff saved and just be able to jump to it is.
That saves you a ton of room, too.
It's so really working for me. Yeah, exactly.
And then what's with the OCD? Are you just using that sometimes?
That was kind of an experiment. I just moved back to this board, and I was thinking, I love that pedal. And I was like, I don't really need it on there. I don't need four tube screamers on a board.
I was going to say,
but here I am.
You got a whole lot of overdrive on this board.
Yeah,
especially for a dude playing steel.
Yeah, right. I just like them. I it'd be cool. I was like, I got a big space there, and it'd be cool to have an overdrive after the modulation stuff, so I can put something on the back end of a phaser. And it's just a great sounding pedal. I don't know what JHS does to mod those because those CDs are already really cool. I was just at Carter's one day and that thing was sitting there and kind of.
It's like, really like common to see the JHS modded version of that. And I mean, it's a common pedal anyway, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am curious to know what they do.
I'm not even sure, but it sounds great, so I won't question it.
And then you're using the TruePath just.
Yeah, again, I just picked that up because I finally just, you know, I said I wanted to get this train wreck back out on the road forever. And, but that is a daunting task of dealing with noise and getting yourself shocked and everything else.
Drastically different amps.
Yeah, because I tried to do it years ago, and you know, it works about a quarter of the time, and then the rest you show up and.
It depends on the room and wherever
you're at. Absolutely. But still, most of the time, I'm trying to hook two amps up to a single guitar without something like this, because it has an isolation transformer and a ground lift and all that stuff.
Well, that's handy.
It's really cool. I'm really happy with it. It's got really good sounding buffers on each side. I like to have a buffer at the front and the end. I don't freak out about the true bypass stuff like a lot of people will. Everything else is.
It's kind of almost like a keyword now, like a
catchphrase. People think they want air. You know, I learned the hard way of getting a board that was all true bypass, and it doesn't usually work very well. You end up introducing a bunch of noise, and it ends up
or adding a buffer
ends up
or
doing
a noise
suppressor. The opposite of what you
wanted
trying
to
do. I eventually learned put a you know this Peterson's a pretty good buffer in it, and you can turn it on or off. So I've got that set on. And then I did have it set on the Timeline where it used to be my last thing out. Now I've turned it off the Timeline. So I sat there and kind of A-beat them for a few minutes and thought that these buffers sounded really good.
Well, hell yeah, man. Everything sounds great. I'm excited for the show tonight.
Yeah.
We'll catch the rest of the guys, but I appreciate you taking the time to walk us through the setup.
All right.
All right, now we're over here with Greg, and he's got about the most elaborate bass setup you can imagine for a country band. I'm totally kidding. You just got this Fender over here and this Trace Elliott, right?
That's right.
Let's talk about him. How long have you had that Fender?
I bought it in 2013. It's a 2011. I got it up in Cleveland. I was actually up there to rent an upright bass from like a violin shop, and there was a Guitar Center across the street, and it said
check it out.
Fender sale.
That rules.
Yep.
Have you done anything to it, or is it stock?
Just stock, man.
Cool. And this is the only one you're touring with, huh?
Yeah, man. It's the only bass I got, really.
Oh.
Yeah, I got.
These are, what do they call these, round wounds?
Flat wounds. Yeah, yeah, deep talking flats, labellas. I actually won a giveaway off of Chicago Music Exchange Instagram. We were up there and got them for free, so.
That rules.
Yeah.
What do you like about those as opposed to normal wound strings?
Man, it's the
they
feel
sound more
of
fuddy,
them.
Like a stand-up, right?
Yeah, I did round wounds for a long time because I like to have the sort of like bite in my sound. And I thought that if I put flats on a P bass, I'd get just like one sound, you know, but I like the feel of them and it's still pretty versatile with just this tone knob and
sure.
And just like palm muting or moving around, I can get pretty much any tone I need.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right on. And then you're just going through this amp here, huh?
Yeah, man. Borrowing it off James's father-in-law.
So that rules.
Thank you, Jody Thompson. Yeah, I was playing this GK head through, like, I was at an ultra lightweight rig. I had a Schroeder cabinet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, and this thing weighs like 6 pounds. But it was like we were playing these huge stages. I was getting washed out. So
it wasn't loud enough.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the process of upgrading and just trying things out. And James had this sitting around. And it's solid state, but has a tube preamp, I'm pretty sure, so
cool.
I can get some bite out of it.
Definitely has that more of a stand-up kind of vibe, for sure.
Yeah.
And then you're just running the tuner, that's it.
Yeah, man, finally got me a pedal.
Look at this thing. We got a Boss pedal over here.
Heard it was vintage, so I picked it up, so. Now, I'm also running through this Red DI. Jesse kind of turned me on to it.
So what's the deal with this thing?
It's just a tube preamp and, you know, my direct out. So that's pretty much a lot of the tone I'm getting. Just started throwing a mic on this trace because I like the way it sounded. But when I was running this GK, I only was going through the DI.
Ah.
Yeah.
And just getting monitor.
Yeah.
Like, just hearing yourself.
Yeah, honestly, I was just kind of getting washed out, man. I was holding on and praying.
Even on this stage, I would imagine that you're not really feeling this a whole lot, right?
Yeah, it's enough. It really, I tuck back here a little bit. I'm up there singing, so but I'm gonna move up to 410s, maybe hear a little better. Yeah. And then, yeah, I got a great deal on this one at Carter, so I left the price tag on it.
Because you got such a good deal on it?
Yeah. Mini Pearl
style.
Maybe
I'll show you guys a photo of what he paid for this band over here. Well, hell yeah, man. I appreciate you taking the time, even though it's not a ton of stuff to walk through.
Absolutely, man.
I will see the show tonight. I'm excited about it. Hey. We're going to talk to Tyler real quick.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. All right. Finally, last but not least, we got the man himself, Mr. Tyler. Did you pronounce it Childers or?
Childers.
Childers. Okay, because I've heard it a lot of different ways.
Yeah, there's Childers, 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 Childers.
Childress.
I'm a Childers.
Well, right on. And you don't have a whole lot of stuff going on tonight, too. Just a guitar and a couple pedals. I guess we should start with this Collings because it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Look at that thing. This has got to be pretty new, right?
Yeah, it is. I've had it now for, I'd say, a year. I got it up in Chicago Music Exchange. Carl hooked me up and took care of me. He always takes care of all of us. So
rules.
The killer guy to know.
So this, I'm guessing this didn't come with a pickup. That's why you had that installed.
Yeah, I did. I got the Anthem put in this. That's what that is. But I'm thinking I'm going to put the Lyric in there. I think that it would work best with this guitar and. I'll put the Anthem back in my Martin. It worked really well with my Martin.
So I've typically seen you play Martin. That one Martin.
Yeah.
Why the Collings instead? Like, is there something that you like about this guitar more?
Well, I got this Collings because I was looking for a second guitar. I've always been a one guitar dude, you know, one woman guy. And but the more we traveled, I realized it was going to be important to get a second one just if something happens,
sure,
you know, in the middle of. And so I was looking for guitars, and this is the first one I played when I was shopping around, and I fell in love with it in Chicago. And I was like, well, I'm just not, you know, I'm not going to just first thing I play, you know, I'm going to take some time and look around. And so for about 6 months, anytime we were in a big city, I'd go to the guitar stores and start banging around on stuff, and I just couldn't get this out of my mind. And so I had hollered at Carl in Chicago, and luckily they still had it.
That exact one.
Yeah,
that's handy.
Same one that I played. They're really roadworthy. You know, I mean, they'll run and hold up, and they've got really good, I mean, customer service. They'll take care of you for sure. And
yeah, those Collins dudes make some sick guitars.
Yeah, they're
down in Austin, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I love the slotted headstock and the open tuners and.
Yeah,
it's kind of got like an old school vibe to it.
Nice aesthetic to it. No, I love this guitar. I am looking forward to getting my Martin back from the shop. Hopefully next week.
What happened to it?
Just 7 years of playing it in
grime
and dive bars and not doing anything to it. I was taking the lyric and putting it in the Martin and realized that one of the braces was broke and then realized there were more. And then turned it around and you could take a piece of construction paper and run it all the way to the fretboard. So I was like, something needs to happen.
That's the worst feeling ever.
So.
Well, you are traveling and beating the hell out of stuff. That kind of makes sense, but that sucks. Well, that's a pretty fine backup considering.
Yeah. It's a hell of a guitar.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah. Cool. So out of curiosity, I've only seen you play acoustic. Are you an electric picker at all?
No, it's those guys.
Do you just let them do it all? Yeah. Cool. And then you're obviously running direct. You're not going through an amp or nothing. The only thing you really have on here outside of a polytune is the new LR Bags acoustic EQ.
Yeah.
Have you played with any of their other acoustic oriented pedals? Because they have some really cool ones like that.
Yeah, the Venue. Sick.
Yeah.
I played it for a little while. I just really liked this DI more for what I was doing. And I did miss the boost, though. And so, yeah, borrowed that from
Jesse. So you're using that EQ,
Jesse.
Basically just like a little boost.
Yeah,
cool.
Just cut through when I go to solo one. So.
Well, that rules, man. I really appreciate you taking the time and letting us talk to your band.
Oh,
and
man.
Stuff.
Yeah, it's been
I'm
a
excited
blast.
For the show tonight.
Thanks, man.
Cool. Again, this is Perry with Premier Guitar. You guys stay tuned for more rig rundowns, riff rundowns, lessons, all that fun stuff. We'll catch you later.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the latest Rig Rundown. Guess what? Every week, we upload a brand new Rig Rundown to PremierGuitar.com a full week before it's available here on YouTube. So to get your gear fix as soon as humanly possible, go to PremierGuitar.com/Rig Rundown. And while you're there, be sure to sign up to get an email notification so you're the first to know as soon as each week's new Rig Rundown is available. Cheers. See you soon.